Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Go for it, okay, mate?
Okay.
Big start today.
Oh, my days. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. We are back. We are blimmin' well back. It's the Flatters and Shankers podcast. I'm Flatters. He is...
Shankers. OMG. I cannot believe it. Life is getting back to normal, mate. I had a McDonald's breakfast this morning.
What?
That's a good sign.
What'd you say, Piggy? McDonald's breakfast? Sausage and egg McMuff?
Double. What's the point of having a single? And I went past McDonald's as well. I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Got past it. Had to do a Yui.
Yeah, go on then. You gave it the one-handed wax on, wax off on the steering wheel, did you?
I thought I'd done it. Because I came into the office early, R6, the roads were clear, and I could do it legally. And I just thought, go on then. Go on then.
So go on, babes. I'll have a sausage McMuff. Make it a dubs. Do you want a double? Go on then, babes. Go on then. Make it a dubs.
No.
Oh, well done, fella. You know, it's funny. You know, I like saying it's funny. It's funny you say that because
I'm not Ray Winston. But when you did your impression, then.
Oh right, yeah, okay, yeah. I actually last night was on the way back from Franklin's Gardens. God bless you. I went past a Costa drive-through, and I knew I had dinner waiting for me on the table. I knew I had a really nice dinner waiting, but I hadn't. There's no. We'll talk about that in a sec. But I was basically like, I'm not going to go to Costa drive-through. I'm not going to get one of those really calorific cappuccinos because I've already had two today on the journey up, and I'm also not going to get an almond and raspberry slice because it's actually out of my way. It's the wrong exit off this roundabout. Then I was like, I found myself just driving there, found my arms turning right instead of left, found myself driving there, drove all the way through, wound my way through about three car parks to get to it, and it was closed. So I can claim to be virtuous and mentally strong because I didn't get it.
Boxed a chimp on your shoulder, didn't you? You boxed it. I mean, a cappuccino's not that bad. It's a bit of milk, a bit of coffee. I know there's a little bit of sugar in it, but I mean, I thought you were going to say something like a frappuccino then. That's bad for you.
Yeah, but fella, I've been getting trolled about my weight, mate.
Yeah, and your jacket, and I'm partly to blame for that as well.
It's funny, said all this time off and still haven't got any new clobber. I mean, firstly, Savile Row's been on lockdown too, mate. And also, after the Chiefs Tigers game, Ellis Genge walked past us and we were broadcasting and said, did you? Oh, right, yeah. Have you got a new jacket? All right, mate.
Five months to sort your clobber out for the game, and that's what you turn up in. I tell you what though, mate, I mean, we've had a little bit of a break. We've had to really because we couldn't get any guests on and we actually don't have anyone today either. This is an early start for us, but it's normality's coming back, isn't it? Sport back on the TV. Ronnie O'Sullivan winning his sixth world title yesterday. Did you see the quotes this month he said in the papers about...
I saw the interview.
Yeah.
How crap the young players are.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the interview. It's brilliant.
Yeah, a little disrespecting maybe to some, but then when it's coming from him, one of the greatest.
He said to the guy he beat last night, he said in the interview afterwards, he said he's a cut above everyone else who's his age. So he sort of backed it up even then.
Oh, you complaining yesterday because they're playing music in between sets, like Burn, Baby Burn. and the guy who's playing was singing along to it, and Ronnie wasn't happy. He said, "Is this going to be on every set?"
Did he?
But yeah. But I tell you what's been entertaining me. Roy Keane for one. I'll just turn on the football for half time and end the game, just to listen to him. Yeah. Formula One.
You've been at it, has he?
Formula One. Really enjoyed that. I enjoy it way more now that I've watched Drive to Survive Series 1 and 2. Because you feel
what
like
is that? Oh yeah, of course it's that.
You feel like you've got a little bit of an insight into the drivers, but Bottas and Hamilton just dominating cars so much better.
Would you call me? All right. But so maybe that's an interesting one, because you are more likely to watch Formula One because you have watched that documentary. So that is a good endorsement of doing these fly on the wall things.
A little bit. I mean, it's a bit of a 1-2 horse race, really, because Mercedes, Patron, McLaren, whatever they're called, are just so much better. The car's so much better. Although Red Bull won last week. But do you see Hamilton coming around the corner with blown a tyre on the front? It's brilliant.
No.
Yeah, 3 or 4 corners left. Bottas tyre blew. It is exciting. People slag it off massively. It's a bit like Marmite. It's a bit like you, really. You either like it or don't. And he had to do 3 corners with a blown out tyre.
And he made it?
Yeah, he made it. Of course he did. Cricket's been good as well. Enjoyed watching the cricket. Are you a cricket fan or not?
Not really.
Well,
no, don't watch it.
Yeah, I always associate the cricket with good times, because when you go to the cricket, you know, when you actually go to watch it live in corporate, obviously, you're not really going for the cricket. You're going for the drinks, the bants, the drinking games, the 12-hour binge.
The absolute bants with a Z.
Yeah, and I always get excited. It's like when you drive past Bristol Airport, I think, oh, I get excited. You know, I should be going to Ibiza or La Manga or Palma or someone like that. A golfing, drinking trip.
Or Newcastle to commentate on a game.
Golf major at the first one. Morikawa won. Colin Morikawa, young bloke. Unbelievable shot, mate. Unbelievable shot on the 16th. Hit a drive to the green.
I only know Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and Rory Cantor and Eddie Pepperell.
Yeah. Laurie Cantor's been doing all right as well, actually.
He's changed.
Very active on social media. Tiger Woods back. You want to watch that fella? It's on Sky Documentaries.
It's good, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just don't have time. I just don't have time to watch all these things because I'm working so much at the moment.
You had one day back. Just before we sort of put series to bed or whatever, you might have a couple you want to say, but I stumbled across something by accident on Netflix. It was called Supermarket Heist.
Right.
And it was like
you discover the weirdest programs.
Yeah, but it was like a toned down version of Unabomber. Like a PG version. It's basically someone.
I thought you were going to say it's a toned down version of Supermarket Sweep with Dale Winton, who, by the way, hit on me once.
Did he?
Yep.
Hit you or hit on you?
Hit on me.
Alright. Touching outside of clothes or anything else?
No, we did a thing. Weren't you there? We did a thing at Saracens with him, a photo shoot, and then he left a note. He was very friendly, and then he left a note for me in my pigeonhole.
Do you remember what it said?
Yeah. It said, "To some, you are David. To others, you are Flats. To me, you will always be the hunk. Call me." With a mobile number.
If you fancy a checkout.
So there you go.
I'll sweep your aisles. So it's a guy, basically, who is holding up Tesco's to ransom. He wants money put on Tesco's club cards. This is back in, I think, maybe 2000. Tesco's club cards. And otherwise, he's going to put letter bombs through Tesco's customers' doors. Okay.
God, it's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's a documentary. It's good.
Wow.
It's good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I love stuff like that.
I'm going to watch that. I really miss 24 Hours in Police Custody.
I'm like Miss Marple. I like that.
So good.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Traffic Cops recently, hoping that James Hook is going to feature on it, because that was That was one of his number one jobs after rugby, was he fancied being a traffic cop. You've got to have dreams, mate. Never give up.
I'm sort of hoping one of the hairy bikers does his knee or something and they need a substitute and they call me in. That'd be the one for me.
You're not that hairy, though.
No, I'm not, but I could do something. I've got a hairy enough body.
That is true. That is true. You've got hair like a Zohan down the pants. You won't know what that means.
I have been getting trolled about my weight online. It's not good, fella. I mean, you know.
When you say trolled, is it a bit of bounce because you are the David Flatman, you know, always joking, always laughing, always saying
absolute
something.
Absolute lols.
Yeah, always saying something quirky.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, oh, few.
But I just think, you know, if I were...
Because I was going to come around there and kick their ass.
If I was a teenage girl, would it be all right to send me this stuff? That's what I keep thinking. You know, and...
Yeah, well, there's no chance of you being a teenage girl.
No, I'm not. Not yet. No.
Only when it comes to banter.
I decided to do something about it and try and, you know, get a bit off again. And that started with me not getting a Costa drive-through almond slice last night.
Well, yeah.
I think it's actually a decent effort.
Through default, really, wasn't it?
So anyway, I mean, I'm back at work, fella.
Come on then, tell me what it's like. What's it like to earn money?
I'm back at work.
Do you get paid for what you did on Saturday?
If you need any cash, you spot me, let me know, because I've got like £8.40 now.
Doesn't feel like work if you do something that you love, mate.
Yeah, that's why it felt so much like work. No, do you know what? It was blimmin' ace. And on Friday, the stars aligned. So I went to Chiefs on Saturday, and I went to Saints yesterday, being Sunday.
Yes.
And the stars aligned on Friday, in that I've been in Devon on me holes, and you know, you've been there with me for a few days with the kids, as you know, because you were there. And it's one of those things where you've really got to go, when the sun's out, you've got to go to the beach, you've got to do stuff. And the weather was, for the first day, the only day last week, the weather was horrendous on Friday. So I got a whole day in front of my laptop, my MacBook Air, just reading, catching up, prepping, reading, catching up, prepping. It was great. And very few interruptions, just reading stuff on different newspapers and websites and catching up. And then I just spent 9.5 hours in the car over 2 days, which is exactly what my life used to look like. And I really like it because I'm listening to an excellent podcast, which I'll tell you about in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great to be back at work. And, you know, you and I know that, and the listeners might not know this, but really, we love doing the TV stuff, and we do that because we love it and it's great. But really, the gigs you really need to come back are the big corporate gigs, and they ain't back yet. But this is a decent start. And
small acorns, mate, all right?
Small acorns.
Always told you that. I've always told you that. You know when you were in front of your MacBook Air, 2014, you need to upgrade.
Yeah.
I don't
need to upgrade it.
Yeah, you do. For the whole of the day, were you at all tempted or did you turn on Netflix and watch any more of Monster Catch or The World's Most Deadliest Prisons?
Oh. Do you know what? I've never watched more fishing clips on Instagram than since you left Devon.
Because
we spent a couple of days watching them, didn't we?
The weather wasn't great. Programs. The weather wasn't great. The girls were doing TikToks and some maths and English and some schoolwork, some prep for September. So, you know, we took it upon ourselves for probably about 4 hours, really, to watch. Monster Catch, I think, was one. It was quite good fun. I mean, I've got a nice little video of you watching Monster Catch / sleeping, resting your eyes, saving it. Yeah. And then
good day. Lovely.
A bit of World's Deadliest Prisons, I think it is. Quite enjoyed, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of these garbage shows are excellent, aren't they? Yes. I really enjoyed it. I'm getting into the fishing clips now on Instagram as well, because they're a bit more instant.
Can you tell me what podcast you've been listening to in the car then for 9 hours?
Yeah, having said that, having said it's really good, I want to make sure I've got the title right. I think it's called In the Dark.
Well, it's a series, isn't it? I've listened to a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Curtis Flowers. And I realise about an episode and a half in, as I quite often do, that I had listened to it before. But I'd stopped. And I'm quite glad I stopped a year or two ago, whenever it was, because now there's loads of extra episodes on series two. And it's getting to the point where I think it's one of those investigative podcasts that's actually going to reach a conclusion and there's actually going to be an answer and he's actually going to get released or convicted.
Yep.
I think released at the end. So I am super hyped. I've got a little bit of time in the car today, so I'm hoping to, if I can, nut through it and finish it today. And tomorrow I'm in the car as well. So either way, the next 24 hours it's getting done, it's getting did. But it's been really, really good. I've enjoyed it. So I quite like that. Pull over, get you fill the car up, get yourself a coffee, maybe a little flapjack, settle in, get your Google Maps on the Apple CarPlay so you know where you're going, and get your coffee going, get your podcast going and cruise along with the radar cruise control on. That's heaven for me, mate. Yeah, that's work.
Yeah. You obviously being the TV star out of us two, really. I mean, you do more. You're signed to Channel 5. When are you going to promote this podcast, mate? When are you going on the One Show, GMTV, Jeremy Vine, and other TV
you see,
channels to promote this?
I haven't married a royal. I have not married anyone from the royal family. Tins.
I mean, look, mate, we're all married to princesses. We just don't go on about it.
Yeah, Tins. Tins and I and Zara and I all agree. We've all agreed. Behind closed doors, unofficially, that had I been on the same night out that Tins was on after the semi-final in 2003, it's more likely me that we married to Zara now. I've got everything Tins... women don't care about rugby pedigree, all right? But I've got everything he's got on a night out and more.
You're a bit bigger, mate. You're harder to share a bath with, share a shower with, walk past in a hallway.
Share a bed with.
Yeah.
I would not want to share a bed with me. Whereas Tins, oh my God. I went to Ian Bolshaw's, he lives in Biarritz, and he's got like a holiday home they sort of rent out down there. And Tins, Andy Beattie, the Beast, and I went to stay with Bolsh for a few days a little while back. And Beast, we had Philae, we had Cote de Boeuf and Beast. No, we had Chateaubriand and Beast, puked it up on Imanol Harry Nordicke's white high tops in Playboy nightclub about 3 hours after we ate it.
Ooh.
Imanol didn't quite realise he was sitting there drinking, a Beast just spewed on his feet. And he said, oh, my sneakers, my sneaks. And anyway, three floors, like a townhouse. And in the end, Tins was on the ground floor. Beast and I were on the first floor. We went up to like the attic room or the top floor, whatever it was, to try and escape the noise of his snoring, and we still couldn't. I can sleep through anything, mate. You could attack me with hammers and I probably wouldn't wake up. Tins' snoring was unbelievable. Zara used to talk about it. You know, if you're mucking around and doing an impression of a snoring pig, you couldn't do it as loud. And he does it for like 4, 5, 6 hours. So no wonder he's had his nose done. It was unbearable. So I think basically she should have married me. That's what I'm saying.
We wish them the best of luck. They seem to have got a good PR team.
The Royal Family.
The good, the bad, the rugby. The new pod they've set up.
I like all that. They look like they've got some good guests on and stuff. It's like
they've got a marketing team. They've got a PR team behind them. I was thinking, mate, maybe we should look to get a third person involved. You know, they've got Pano, haven't they? Who's hosting it? Maybe we should go for someone along the same lines, like Mark Francis Vandelli. There he is. He's the really posh one from Made in Chelsea. He's like top lip just...
Oh, he'd be good.
Yeah.
I think we should get Claire Balding. I think Gary Lineker will do it.
No, it need to be posh, mate. Need to be too... That's not posh enough.
Ben Fogle.
Yes!
Ben Fogle wants... Ben Fogle, right? I only met him once, obviously. We don't know each other. I was at this do, which I bought... white collar boxing do, which I'll tell you about in a minute because it was actually reasonably amusing, but it was the poshest do you could go to, really, it felt like. And
Stephen Fry.
it was when Ben Fogel was there and someone started talking about dogs and someone said, have you got dogs? And he said something I've never heard before. Instead of saying, when you've got a couple of labs, you say, we've got labs or we've got Labradors. He says, yeah, we keep Labradors. We keep Labradors. And I said something like, what, you find them and keep them? You don't give them back? And he sort of looked at me like, just completely straight through me, like, I don't understand what you're about, mate. And I was like, you keep, I don't know what, the verb to keep, I don't understand where the verb keep comes from with dogs. Anyway, it was just, I realise now it's like when Mark Durden-Smith says he's going on holiday, he says, we've taken a house in Bantham, we've taken a house in Devon.
Mm.
If you're posh, you have supper, you take a house and you keep dogs.
It's going to be you, mate.
I say supper sometimes and actually that's not posh.
It's going to be you. You're going to be saying, yeah, we keep a French bulldog.
And a bull terrier, a slightly unpredictable bull terrier and a one-eyed French bulldog. We keep them.
We keep kids in our house.
Keep kids. Mm. But the do I was at was a boxing do, and a mate of mine, Hugh Williams, was boxing a bloke from a family's name I've forgotten, but they are best friends to the royal family. Prince Charles's best mate's son. It's like Viscount something. Hughie was fighting.
It's a biscuit,
and,
mate.
Yeah, exactly. And they had this fight, and we were on the next table from Prince William and Prince Harry, and all the royals were on the next table at this black tie do. And Powley, Matt Powell, we were like, woo, 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 come on, Hughie! Like, really sort of bit thuggish. And Matt Powell stood up, and who is very regularly accused of being posh because he speaks well and dresses in pink chinos and yellow shirts and stuff. And he stood up and he just shouted, I won't use a swear word, but he said, come on, Hughie, rip his fucking throat out.
We just swore, mate.
Just as a joke.
You just swore.
I didn't say it.
You did.
Rip his fucking throat out. And it was absolutely hilarious. Like, people did not know what to make of it. But Ben Fogel was on our table and everyone knew it was a bit of bants with a Z. Everyone knew it was a bit of fun, but Ben Fogel just couldn't help but disapprove because he keeps Labradors. So maybe he should host our podcast.
Yeah. It gives a nice insight into the lives of animals at Longleat.
Chris Packham.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
Always had a bit of a soft spot for the lady he presents with, the curly hair.
The blonde curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord Bath died recently. Didn't know that.
I know.
Mm.
What an operator he was. Odd. All the tales I heard were a bit odd. Met him once. Went down to Longers.
Do you have a mask on?
Met him at Longleat.
Like a masquerade ball, was it? Like Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. Mm. He used to have like big sort of swinging parties, didn't he, on his top floor? Yeah, never got invited to one of those, sadly. Because you know what I'm like? I'd have blooming well been there with a gag on and a snooker ball in my mouth.
And then big horse's head over you.
Horse's head and a choker on horse's head. And I'd have had spurs on my heels.
Well, yeah.
I'd have been...
Why have you got a horse's head on?
I'd have been mad up for it.
Oh, it's ironic.
It's erotic.
So there we are. There we are, fella.
Hey, we're back. But I quite like all these... I like all these other podcasts because they're good. They're kind of antidotes to us, really, because we are...
I like them, mate. I just don't want to see them do too well, all right?
Yeah. That's what you mean. I'm not asked, really. But
you are.
I don't know. You
crying
can't,
on the phone to me.
A couple of things. You can't not do better when you're actually paying someone to market you and PR you and stuff like that. And we don't do any of that stuff, which is fine. I mean, they should go for it and good on them. I kind of think we've sort of had the offers to buy our pod and take us over and do big stuff. And it's like, nah, because then we couldn't send each other texts like, I want to go to the gym at 9 and go out for brekkie. So can we do the pod at 8? Yeah, mate. Do you want me to come and see you? Nah, do it remotely. We couldn't do that. We'd have to go to a studio. And the sourcing guests piece is a pain in the ass. They hate it as much as we do. So if you've got someone to do that for you, that's great, but I sort of think ultimately the risk is you are paying someone to produce and paying someone to do running orders and editing and source guests and stuff, and it's like, you know.
I'm going to shock you now, mate. I'm ready to sell.
Yeah.
I'm ready to sell.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm out. I might take the Dragon's Den.
Yeah,
Theo, Peter, Deborah.
Do you know what? When you're a player, you're so competitive all the time, and like you don't get picked one week, or you get rotated out, or rested, or someone else. It's like I hadn't been picked for England for like 8 years. I was still really pissed off every time I didn't get picked for England, even though I was like on crutches or in a wheelchair at one point. And yeah, you know, but now, like as soon as I retire, I'm like I just couldn't give a monkey. So it just doesn't bother me at all if that kind of stuff. I quite like it. Cool. But it's not. Yeah, it's not. We're deliberately low rent, aren't we? You want to go high rent now. You want to take it up a notch.
No, I just want to sell it, mate. I just want to cash in. Just want to sell it, cash in, and retire.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. I mean, yeah. that's next.
Well, I put on Twitter about questions later. So we're going to read out a lot of questions. I asked people if they got any questions about the rugby or if they got jokes they want us to read out. And I think all bar one are jokes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Some bloody good ones as well.
That's good. That's excellent.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
My kids, by the way, have been in across a pan-European race to beat quarantine. The last couple of days, they got back late last night, having set off on Friday on an 8-hour train from somewhere in the Netherlands to Berlin, and then had to find a flight on Sunday from Berlin to Bristol, which they found, which is a result, and couldn't go to France. It was one of those things, you had an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Paris to Berlin.
All your luggage. Mm. Eh?
It was the song Paris to Berlin.
I've never heard of it. One Night in Paris. But you got these kids, and it's like, oh my God, this is going to be a brutal trip. Knackered kids as it is. Right, we've got to leave now. Get your stuff in a bag now. The train is in 2 hours, and it's a 6-hour train. It's delayed. It's an 8-hour train to Berlin. You have your mask on for the whole 8 hours. Then you got to, you know, find a hotel. You got to get flights, that sort of stuff. Like, absolute ball ache. And I said to their mum, like, why didn't you just drive? She said, well, you got to go through France and Belgium. But it only occurred to me when I got back last night, get yourself a diesel, fill the car up in the Netherlands and drive straight through France and Belgium, which you can. It's only a couple of hours. It's not a long drive. And you are through. You're back at the ferry. As long as you don't stop, it doesn't count as being in, does it?
Yeah. My mate Pi had to drive back from the south of France a couple of weeks early from his holiday. He went for a month down there. Got back just in time. Managed to book a ferry ticket as well, which was obviously the most important thing. But I'll tell you one person that didn't escape quarantine, and that is Wayne Barnes. I mean, Wayne Barnes collected loads of vouchers from Millets, basically, and got a free holiday to France with it.
Yeah.
And with that free holiday that Millets provided for being one of their lifelong best customers. He's just a member, mate. Because I wasn't sure, because I turned on, and I watched Channel 5, the game you presented, Exeter Leicester. And I didn't see the start. So when you were coming to Barnsley, I just thought, that's a terrible line. Is he doing it off his mobile or something? But he was doing it from the house.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's doing it from his house. I think he's still on the Costa del Sol.
Possibly could be.
Because his wife Polly's still posting holiday pictures.
But
he's gone all quiet.
He didn't escape quarantine, no?
No. Got back and had to do 2 weeks on his own. So I think he's back live with us next week. But it's like, yeah, I guess it would be a killer. But it's one of those things, like a few weeks ago, we thought, oh, I'll tell you what, should we just go somewhere for a week, somewhere like, you know, somewhere in Europe, just for a bit of guaranteed sun, just for a break? Because South Devon's great, but been there since July the 4th. So it's like, you know, wouldn't mind a little hop somewhere. And it's like, actually, you can't, because you'll be somewhere, they'll get put on the list, and then you're knackered and you can't work for 2 weeks, and you can't see your kids for 2 weeks if they don't come with you and all that stuff. You can't do it. So I did mention that to the girl's mummy, but anyway, it was overridden and ended up in a horrific journey.
Yeah, there we are. Lesson learned. Yeah, staycation.
Right. The kids quite enjoyed it.
I'm having a little staycation on Wednesday, mate, going down to mate Paul Luger's pub, the new inn in Amroth.
Tembi.
Come say hi if you're around. Yeah. He's desperate. He's desperate for us to come down. So a few of us are going down there. And I really want to do Centurion responsibly. I might add, okay, where it's...
You 100 drink, shots in 100 minutes?
Yep, yep, yep. We've got all day there, mate. Staying the night, camping, and then driving back the next day. So, a little holiday. Can't wait, can't wait. Not seen him in a long time.
That'd be lovely, that boy.
Yeah, stay 2 metres apart. Got hand sanitizer.
You're on your own, are you taking the kids? Lot.
Taking the kids, mate.
Why not?
You don't take kids to war. You know that. So yeah, that's my little holiday. Really looking forward to that. And then obviously, you're a couple of weeks ahead of us, so I've got a bit of work coming up for Premier Sport in 2 weeks' time. Not doing the first weekend. Bit of a kick in the teeth, that. Don't know why. Been on at them. Something about being not good enough, I think. But I'm doing...
Yeah, charisma.
Yeah, not listening. I can't remember what they said. Doing the Cardiff Blues Ospreys. Home game for the Blues, played at Rodney Parade, because there's a Nightingale Hospital, which has been constructed on the Arms Park. So, going to be strange playing a home game at Rodney Parade. But, I mean, we should get into rugby chat now, shouldn't we? I was about to dip in there, but let's have a short little break, and then I'm going to plough into it.
Let's go and do our wee's and wash our hands with soap for singing Happy Birthday twice. And then we'll come and get going, all right?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quinn Sale was on Friday night, but I want to start with you, Exeter Leicester Flats, Channel 5. You were there. What was it like? Because we watched the games on the TV. We watched football, cricket, loads of sports we've watched where there's crowd noise. What's it like actually at the stadium? Does it feel like a training game?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Weirdly, it does, but it only feels like a training game when you think about it. But quite often, when this stuff's going on, you don't think about it. And for most of the game, it is just like being at a normal game. And you forget very, very readily that there's no one there. It's quite surprising how quickly you forget it. But then there's the times you notice it are when a try is scored, a kick is got, penalties given, penalties scored, something happens, and it's silent. And we're silent except for the players. So yesterday at Saints, Malachi Fekitoa put a couple of massive hits in, and the Wasp players went nuts, but that was it. So no one else, and that's when it's weird.
Yeah, okay. So try. But I mean, is there music played when tries scored still?
I think so. Mm. One thing I noticed yesterday at Saints is that they've got one of the pit. I'm not a massive fan of most pitch announcers. There's a couple I think are really good, like Chubbs down at Chiefs is really good. And the one they got at Saints, I don't know who he was yesterday, but he's really good. Except he's doing pitch announcements and he's announcing the team and stuff. And Durda's made the point, who is he talking to? That is a really good point. The only people in the ground are staff or media. Who's he giving the team list to? And it's like, at 15, it's George Furbank. Like, who's he talking to? Mm-hmm. It's really odd. And he was announcing substitutions, which was quite handy. But it is odd. But I think they're... Like, watch a snooker last night. There are people there. I think there are going to be... Darren Childs, the CEO of Prem Rugby, was on BT on Friday night. And he suggested that sooner rather than later, it looks like there are going to be some fans back, even on a trial basis.
Yes.
And even if, you know what it's like, fella, even if you get 2,000 people in, they can make a lot of noise.
Hmm.
And that'll change things. But it is a bit like being at a United game, what do you call it, a second team game. Does anyone else call them United games?
No.
Except Bath? No. We're just United with a second team. So it's like being at a United game.
Yeah. Bit strange then. Slightly strange. But I suppose you'll get used to it. I think we've all got used to the football. We're getting used to the cricket. We'll get used to the rugby. And I think you're right. It won't be for too much longer. But Exeter were good. 26-13. Leicester, probably, I was expecting a little bit more, I think, from Leicester. They don't have the quality that Exeter have, but they've still got, you know, they've still got a great front row. They've still got halfbacks, phenomenal. But it's just the Exeter juggernaut machine that just keeps going. And I mean, that the hog try was the highlight for me. You see a lot of teams now looking at that 9-12 play off a scrum, and if it's done flat, the opposing 12 can't drift. He can't drift off his man because his man's in his channel. It's so if it's done correctly, if you've got a good scrum and you've got a little 8-9, that pass to 12 just stops any teams drifting. And Devoto's delay on that pass was just absolutely perfect. Then Simmons delays his. The timing of Woodward's pass.
Slade's original decoy line as well was a good hard one.
Yep.
It was nicely played.
Yeah, he could have gone through the hole as well. Leicester were just left bemused, really, in defence. And they obviously lost Ben Youngs around the far side of the scrum as well, which means you can't push as hard. Maybe he should have come back round and allowed his team to push off, but you know, he stayed that side to try and just try and stop the hinge of 8-9. But it was good. Nice try.
Yeah, I thought Ollie Woodburn given it too early. But he hadn't.
No.
He scored it.
Yeah.
So, no, Leicester flew out the first half an hour. Chiefs were a bit... I watched Chiefs in the warm-up, and I said this on air. I don't know if you heard it or not, but... Hear everything, mate. I was standing with Topsy Ojo before the game, and Chiefs were just drilling their practice lineouts, you know, 1-2, 1-4, 1-2 back, 2-4 back, you know. And I said, Tops, just watch this. And they're unopposed because they're just sort of pre-match going through the motions. And it wasn't very accurate. The ball was a bit low. He wasn't getting at the top of the lift. The timing wasn't quite right. It wasn't perfect, but it was just a warm-up. But then you start the game, and the lineout didn't work very well for Chiefs. And it doesn't matter because they find a way to win and the lineout came good and all that. But I just thought, because it was topically on the day, Steve Borthwick's first game at Leicester Tigers, I just remember doing line-out sessions with Borths, and you could not finish a lift. You're not allowed to not finish a lift. You're not allowed to take the ball a foot lower than you should. You do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. One more. And he said, put an inch on it, Mearsy. Put an inch on it, Humps. You know, and it was perfection. It wasn't aiming for perfection, but it wasn't like we were the greatest team ever, but our set piece was excellent. You know, we had the best line out and best scrum in the league for 3 seasons running, I think, and just statistically. And it was like, I watched that and just thought it just looked a little bit off the drill, got to the game, and it really cost them in the first half an hour particularly.
Yeah.
But they found their rhythm and got into it. But Leicester flew out the blocks. They just didn't quite, you know, you get George Ford on the front foot. They got him on the front foot like 2 or 3 times in 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And when they do, he is magic. He's just magic. But when they don't, he's excellent, is all he is, you know, because there's not a lot he can do. Whereas you look at Joe Simmons, he just didn't have an armchair ride, but it wasn't far from it.
Like, no.
You think, just imagine George, it's a silly thing to say, but imagine George Ford in that Chiefs team. Imagine George Ford in a dominant Sarri's team. I mean, it'd be carnage.
Yeah, it would. Sam Simmons, really impressive. Again, shows how powerful, how different he is to, I suppose, the mould that we're used to seeing with England. I say used to seeing. Billy Vinopoulos, Nathan Hughes are probably the two big number eights, but Sam Simmons, a lot like Curry, isn't he? You know, that sort of size, really powerful. Not, doesn't physically weigh, you know, 120 kilos, but punches really high above his weight and makes up for that with speed, with footwork. Johnny Gray, excellent, I thought. And Dave Ewers, don't know whether he's a lockdown loser or winner. I'm hoping it's muscle, but he looked massive. And I know you mentioned it a couple of times about him looking like a Jersey cow. He looked gigantic, mate. You know, it's so difficult to stop on the charge or 5 metres out picking and going.
Mate, he's, you know, Parksy, our mate James Parks, who we play with at Sarries. He's a fitness coach at Chiefs. Like, I don't ask him for any information. He wouldn't give me any anyway. But one thing, like, two things I know about Dave Ewers are that he is something in the region of 130 kilos and he's got a six pack.
No way. Is it a six pack?
He is like, in Nick, mate.
Like, there was a Big Brother, celebrity Big Brother, and there was like this Aussie photographer who's got like spiky hair. Yeah. And he's like a peacock. But he had a six pack implanted in.
Yeah, that's
him.
It. I want one of those.
Yeah.
No, he is in Nick and. He just bang, a couple of times he gets nailed, but he just bangs and bangs and bangs. In the end, they just can't resist him because think about the guys they've got on the bench. Don Armand's on the bench.
Yeah,
Sam
I know.
Skinner's on the bench.
I want to ask you, Flats, Luke Cowan-Dickie, sick, coming out of his mouth. WTF.
Yeah. Playing in the front row is harder than playing anywhere else. All right, don't forget that.
Apart from centre.
Remember, there were a few guys that used to spew on the field. Bobby Grouse spewed a few times in scrums and stuff. It's just getting your lungs back used to it. And you get some people spew in training, don't they, when it's really hard training. I never spewed once. My heart rate would be 210 and I wouldn't spew. Some guys would spew here and there.
But it's like
you got diarrhea, didn't you?
out the mouth. But it's like normally if you're going to do that, and yeah, you're right, we've seen people being sick from fitness, but normally like you're on your hands and your knees, you're sort of, you're crawling around and then it comes up sort of thing. Not pushing over, driving over, scoring a try, getting up, cheering, and it coming out your nose and your mouth.
It's just effort.
Yeah.
It's just max effort and you're absolutely hanging at that point. But he was like, the way he carries, he's just so aggressive. Mm. Like, it's not like he's punching and kicking. He's just so confrontational and he collides so hard.
And I think you mentioned it as well, like he's very comfortable standing in that 5 metre channel when Exeter want to play like wide games. You know, he's often on the end of tries there. And then he can mix it up when he needs to do some close quarter combat like Steven Seagal.
Skillful, confident, wax people.
So,
great.
Yeah, no complaints there for Exeter. Leicester, Leicester in a rebuilding process, no doubt about that. But I think
they got to find a way to get that pack. We've got some really good carriers in there, but I just don't think they got enough.
Yeah, but I think before that, Flats, I think they've got the right people in charge to take Leicester forward in terms of management. So it might be a case of everyone has to bear with Leicester just for a little bit until they find their feet. But, you know, you'd rather have the right people in charge and bring the right players in, I think, rather than the other way around.
They will have been quietly complaining about Sarries and saying we reckon they're cheating the salary cap and all that sort of stuff for years.
Yeah.
And well, they were, because off camera they were. But now they'll be incredibly grateful that Sarries did it just that, because otherwise there's a good chance they would be struggling down. Well, they are struggling down the bottom of the table. But I think any club with Steve Borthwick in charge is going to struggle not to improve to some level.
Yeah.
So here's hoping they get better, because it's more fun to watch, isn't it?
I was uber excited about Friday night, Quinn's sale, partly because, I say partly, 90%, because Manu Tuilagi was starting for sale and there was a massive, you know, Steve Diamond's massively hyped him up, saying, you know, there's one of the best trainers he's ever seen up there with sort of Jason Robinson. I'm not sure you can put him right up there with Jason Robinson yet. He's certainly got the qualities, potentially, but weather just killed it for me. Weather was appalling. 41 minutes until we actually saw Manu carry, I think it was. But a lot of penalties in that game. Now, you were there yesterday. You started covering games again. What are the main differences we'll be seeing in referees reffing the breakdown?
Well, there are no new laws. There's nothing new. It's just implementing the laws that are already there, really, a bit more stringently. So there's more emphasis on not going off your feet. And, you know, it's worth remembering that we are going to see players going off their feet and not getting penalised, because you can't give a penalty at every breakdown. It'd just be no game anymore. And also the refs can't spot everything. So stop going off your feet. The jack alert, and stop coming in from the side. You've got to come in from the back. So a lot less side entry. So it's safer, but also it's better to watch. And if you're going to jackal, clear release still is a thing, but you've actually got to try and lift the ball. So it used to frustrate me. Like, you'd see lads getting themselves in a great position, standing strong, winning penalties. And it was like they weren't even trying to take the ball. They flopped their arms in the right place and just tensed their cores and hips and quads and locked in. They weren't trying to nick it. They're trying to win a penalty. And there's a difference. So you actually have to try and lift the ball now after a clear release. If you're not lifting the ball, you're not going to get the pen. Rolling away, you've got to be quicker. Ideally, they want you to roll east or west as opposed to back out towards an incoming scrum half. But they're giving you less time to do that. So there's a lot of pens for not rolling away. Some of them are quick, really quick, and some of them are really tight, because you think, I could not have got out of there in time if that was me. But the idea being, it feels at the moment like it might be slightly weighted towards the defence, and is that what we want? I think that isn't the idea. I think give it a few weeks, and actually most clubs will adapt better than they have so far. They'll get used to it, but I think it's not. It's meant to mean that the breakdown is cleaner, less of a mess, so it's better to watch, basically, is the idea. And Sale did not adapt very well on Friday night.
Thank you for doing my homework for me. For next week. Yeah, no, there was quite a lot of penalties, dodgy ones as well. I mean, Don Brandt managed to win himself a penalty by pulling a Sale player in. The ref missed that.
Yeah, but I know. Streetwise.
Yeah,
streetwise.
Massively. It doesn't help for Sale when Dupree missed the kick in front of the post. They had no real territory or possession. Did they really?
And then the crossfield kick from the scrum advantage was a bit of a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, that was strange, wasn't it? To give away advantage so soon.
Well, on a penalty advantage, you might be all right. You might come back and win it anyway. But on a scrum penalty, you're not.
Yeah, but it's not like an attacking kick. It's not like it's been kicked all the way downfield. You know, that's more of a chance your arm, really. You've got advantage. Try something different. And it didn't work because Brown collects it. Probably should have scored himself, actually. But it results in Scott Baldwin diving over. But, I mean, Sale's try was good. We talked about it already with that 9-12 move. And Manu just does enough to hold Marchant. But it's because of Faf de Klerk's pass hits Sam Hill. So Lat has to hold, and it goes out the back to Dupree and Hansen McGuigan to score. But that is a common move we're going to see a lot of now. And you see sort of once one team sort of shows you how well a move works, most teams copy it now. You know, we sort of see that blueprint that Cipriani sort of installed really at Wasps and Gloucester in phase play. Just balls behind forwards all the time, you know, just hanging in that pocket. Every team does it now. And I think, you know, if you get a good scrum, you're going to see this a lot, because it's a really difficult move to defend, because you've got so many options. You can carry yourself, you can hit the short runner, you can put it out the back. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I thought weather killed the game, but it's difficult because we have watched rugby before this weekend, and it's been super rugby, hasn't it? And we've seen some classic games. There's a brilliant game in the morning, actually, Saturday morning. I think it was Hurricanes and I can't remember who else. But it was phenomenal.
Yeah. The level has been quite amazing.
I know there was nothing on the game. You know, it's already been won by the Crusaders. But just the attacking intent, you know, the offloading, I think, is what sets it apart from Southern to Northern Hemisphere, more so in New Zealand. It's just skill-wise, I think they are, unfortunately, streets ahead of Northern Hemisphere. But phenomenal game. I can't remember who it was. Name some teams. Hurricanes and wasn't Crusaders.
Blues Chiefs.
Nope. Wasn't Chiefs. Highlanders. Hurricanes, Highlanders. Phenomenal, mate, honestly. You want to watch attacking rugby the way we want the game to be played. That is it. But a good start for Quinns. Hold on. Scott Baldwin.
He played well, I thought, Scott Baldwin.
Yeah, did all right. Loves wearing white socks or ankle strapping over his socks.
Yeah, makes you look quicker, doesn't it?
Does make him look quicker.
NFL style. I thought he defended really well, tackled hard. Thought he looked really good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, he did all right.
Better players on the field, I thought. That was good. Bristol Saracens was massively hyped and was the worst game to watch in 39 years of rugby union globally.
Well, that game and the Sale game I was looking forward to most of, because of both centres, Manu and Radradra. Yeah. You know,
here's a question for you. Sorry, rewinding a bit to the Quinn Sale. You got Manu, it's raining, it's not a great night. He hasn't been in the game. Marcus Smith at 10 for Quinns. Brilliant player.
Played well.
Not a big guy.
Kicked well.
Why don't we see Manu being brought in closer and sent up the middle? Why don't we see that being sent into Marcus Smith? Didn't have to tackle him once, I don't think.
Harlequin's defence was really sharp off the line. So any ball that is a little bit off, a little bit slow, I thought Quinns really shut Manu down. And it's difficult. I mean, it's easier to say, right, let's get a line out, let's get a scrum. We need Manu running down that 10 channel, get over the gain line, forge around the corner. But it doesn't always happen like that. You know, ball is disrupted, ball isn't clean. Skill-wise, it's quite difficult out there to throw accurate passes because of the rain and and how greasy it was. So, yeah, I mean, there would definitely have been chat about trying to get Manu into the game, but you know, it's like sometimes just the ball doesn't come your way. You know, you played in games where you've probably carried four or five times in the first 10, 20 minutes. And then there'll be other games where you've tried to, but you haven't been able to. But yeah, a little bit disappointed really because we wanted to see him. But then, you know, Radradra as well. He tried. We know how good he
He'll
is.
He'll get there.
Yeah.
He'll get there.
I'm glad he didn't get knocked out chasing that kick.
Yeah.
Do you see it? It was an up and under and
yeah, it looked horrible.
Yeah, it looked horrible. I thought his jaw was gonna be knocked out. It was Sean Maitland called it, didn't he? And he tries to put the sort of brakes on and slips into it. But a massive talking point of the game was the Morahan try disallowed. Have you seen
What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
Well, I like speaking for you. You're gonna say no try because you love sitting on the fence, really, and backing up the refs.
Well, saying no try is not sitting on the fence, is it?
Well, it's the easy thing to say, mate, backing up the refs, because it was no try. You don't want to disagree with them, because they're all your mates. I thought it was a try.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What do you think?
Try.
Ah!
Yeah! I've done it.
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah. I don't think there is a bit of a change in direction of, who is it? Harry?
He's not in the same
Harry place, Thacker. Running back, but it's not enough for me. Itoje's not making that tackle either way. And I know you could say, well, you've got to allow him to make it. It's a block. He knows what he's doing, but you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, I think as soon as you deliberately block, you are asking for trouble.
You are asking for trouble.
It's obvious you're asking for it. So I don't think many refs would have given that. You can't, you know, you might be allowed to.
So you don't think it's a try?
No, I think Maro wouldn't have made the tackle, but I think not many refs would allow it.
What's your answer? Do you think it was a try or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think many refs.
Convince me then. Convince me then.
No, that's it. I told you what I think.
No, you've got to convince me. I don't think it's a try now.
No, why? But it's the same as stick yourself in a scrum, Shanko, and it's like it might not be the loose head who's taking it down, but if you bind like that, it's always going to look like you are. So what do you expect? It's not about right or wrong. It's about what you're showing the referee a lot of the time, and you have to be streetwise and not show the referee things that look illegal, that look erroneous.
Paint a better picture, yeah? Is that what we're saying?
That's it, paint a better picture. That's it.
Yeah. Bristol did really well to hang on, though. They're right under pressure towards the end. couple of penalties given away and Saracens a couple of driving lineouts. Quite impressed with Dominic Morris for Saracens. Not heard too much about him. Defensively, thought he was really good. You know, did a really good job in that midfield. But yeah, you just wanted to see more of Semi Radradra. You could see him trying to hit lines, you know, pre-planned sort of three-phase attack, but it just didn't fall for him. But I tell you what, as soon as that weather changes and he gets ball in hand,
oh yeah, see you later.
You wouldn't want to be defending him at 13.
Yeah,
at all. So
like I've got an inside source at Bristol. I won't say who it is, but I said, "How does Semi Radradra look?" And he said, "Mate, mate, he is a different level." He is a different level.
But I'm happy for Bristol Bears, happy for Pat Lamb. Sounds and seems like a great bloke. Guys love him. Always hear good things about him. So, well done to the Bristol Bears, because that was a decent, well-drilled Saracens team that went to Ashton Gate.
Go on, Briss. Well done, Briss.
Best game of the weekend. I've not seen all of the Bath game. I've seen the tries, but Northampton Wasps really enjoyed that. Now, talk to me about Umanga. Is it a perm or is it natural?
Soul glow, baby. I like it. Durda said, "What do you do with Umanga's hair?" And I said, "You embrace that. You grow that. You take care of it. You nourish it.
You feed it, Pantone Pro.
It will be gone. One day it will be gone."
Mm.
I thought... there was this upturn in form before lockdown for Wasps, and no one quite knew whether it was the Lee Blackett effect or Dai Young leaving. Suddenly they were better. I think it roughly coincided with Jimmy Gopeth coming back fit.
Yep.
And that, for me, is what makes the difference for them.
I agree. Lee Blackett's also, he's bulked up a little bit in the gym, I think.
Yep.
Yep. So training hard.
Yep. Yeah, it's good. He's obviously got a set up in his back garden and he's accessed some of the gym kit.
I agree with you about Jimmy Gopeth, though, mate. I really do.
Yeah, he's just class. And
he is.
It's no surprise when there's no fans, you can hear all the comms on the field and Jimmy Gopeth runs that show. But
if you take Jimmy Gopeth out of 12, that Wasps back line will not function as well. He is such a... He's more vital, I think, than Jacob Umanga at 10, which you don't often say because your 10 is your playmaker. But I think he's that vital and important to Wasps' attack. Way more than Umanga, who I think is a class player himself, but everything is around Jimmy Gopeth.
Yeah, agreed. And that's great for Umanga to be playing inside Jimmy Gopeth. He can take so much of the heat off him when he's a young player. But Fekitoa was really, really good in defence. A couple of massive hits. One was borderline. All the Saints players thought he should have been sent off for it, but it...
Correct decision.
The player was dipping as he caught it. The knees bent.
He was,
that's a toughie, that.
Yep. Do you see the Nivaboro stamp on Launchbury? When I say stamp,
no.
It wasn't. I don't think it was. You couldn't call it a stamp because a stamp sounds like it was on purpose, but it wasn't. He breaks three of. It happened around the same time as the Fekitoa high tackle, so it wasn't really picked up. But he breaks three of Launchbury's tackle. He just tries to kick out. He's not looking at Launchbury's face, but studs connect with Launchbury's face. But
I didn't see that.
Probably worth a look, just to shut up a lot of trolls, basically. And if there's studs connected with a face, you probably should look at it. Looked totally accidental to me.
Rugby incident.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who was... Brad Shields was good.
Yes, he was.
Really well. Thought he was good. And Jack Willis is another...
Clothing brand.
Amazing English back rower.
He is.
There are so many. He was just mega. I mean,
scores a try. So good. Nice work from Robson down the blind and Minozzi. But I tell you, I was watching them and I was thinking, there are a few teams 5 meters out which are just deadly, deadly for different reasons. Wasps are deadly because I think of how creative they are. You know, with their strike moves. You know, Exeter Saracens are deadly. I'd say more so from basics of picking and going, of patience, of power. But it's always sort of red alert when Wasps are 5 metres out. Gloucester are the same as well. I think it's because of the setups they use for attack. But, you know, there's more chance, I think, of Wasps scoring 5 metres out than not scoring.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first try as well from Bassett. It was a class try. Again, 8-9-12. So it's done really flat. Piers Francis has to hold. Nairavaro overruns it, really, and the hole just opens up for Bassett. It's an extra pair of hands as well. It's a little flick on from Umanga, but just the timing of that is really hard to nail. So they've done a lot of work, obviously, in this off season, if you want to call it, because it was spot on. You know, everyone has to be in the right position. It's not just one pass out the back from Gopeth. You know, it's two sets of hands, and it just Wasps make it look easy when it's not.
Yeah, and I felt like Josh Bassett played really well as well. But he always does. I felt like they targeted Nairavaro a bit. Mm. Quite a lot of clever kicks went his way.
Yep.
Through Gopeth primarily, but they attacked down the right quite a lot. And maybe it's a coincidence, but I did think they targeted the big fella in defence. At that instant, it paid off. But it was the best game of the weekend. The weather turned just after half time, really, and the weather was hanging for the last half an hour of the game. So
yeah,
the skill level dropped a bit. Fatigue would have kicked in. But it was the best game of the weekend, definitely.
If you look at that Fakatawa hit on, who does he hit now?
He hits
Dingwall in the centre, right?
Fraser Dingwall.
Yeah, but if you watch that clip from behind, because they're great angles from behind, it's just a little bit of decision-making there, because if that ball goes out the back to Bigger, Bassett is miles away from Fakatawa. Difficult position for your winger to defend that far out, because you've got to be wary of the crossfield kick. You can't quite be right up in the front line with your centre. You've got to hang off a little bit. But if that ball goes out the back to Bigger, he's in, mate. He's in. That's a try. So
as you know,
there's not many opportunities in the game, and it's just about taking them. And it's a shame, really, because Northampton do bring themselves back into it. One man I want to point out was man of the match, Thomas Young. Again, brilliant. His tracking back, his pick up the ball, bounces off, hits Robson, feeds Bassett. Probably the try of the match. But he can't play for Wales. He's not allowed to play for Wales.
He plays over here.
Under the new Gatland's law, okay? It's the 60 cap rule, basically, has got him, because he's re-signed for Wasps. Now, the problem he's got, and I think it needs to be looked at, is that no Welsh region is going to want him or wants him, because if there's one position that we are just filled with in Wales is number seven. All the regions, yeah. You look at them all, there's so many players there that they're not going to want another seven. Every region is littered with it, and international quality as well. So for him, no matter how well he's playing, as it currently stands, he's not allowed to play for Wales. And I think that has to change, because we know how good he is. I think he's got three caps. And if he continues this form, there's no reason why he can't be number one or number two. You know, so if Tipperick's not fit, you know, he's certainly knocking on the door with the Navidis to play. But as it stands, he can't. So I think the powers in Wales really need to look at that, because you should be rewarded, you know that, more than anyone, for playing well for your club. And he's shown he can do it. I just feel for him.
I do. He's so good. Mm. He is so good. Mm. I mean, that back row was Shields, Jack Willis, and him yesterday was bumping. Absolutely bumping. I thought they were great.
It was.
The Bath-Irish game was fine. Bath found out that their driving maul worked really well, so did that 38 times. London-Irish did one as well.
Yeah, chucked all the backs in as well.
Bath pack were really dominant. They were excellent. Abano was great when he came off the bench. Jonathan Joseph's finish was absolutely spectacular. A bit of a Joe Thockenesinger finish, but that was kind of it, really. It wasn't the best game to watch, even though there's quite a lot of points scored.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, mate, is watching Bath play this year with Ben Spencer running the show at nine.
He looked really good.
Really good. You know, such a great intercept as well. Clever intercept. It wasn't like just a winger picking off a long, flat ball. Mm. It was really intelligent and well-read, and pace as well. I think he's going to be make a huge difference for Bath. I saw one of the tries flats, and is one of the 14 men creative driving lineup tries they score, which Wales have tried quite a few times as well. But Rocco Nagouni, when he was walking back, I was still thinking, oh my, look at the shape of him. Look at, he's like a missile. Still don't want to mess with him.
No, but you don't see him much in games. I'm sure he wants to be seen more, but you just don't see him that much. And that's been kind of a, not a complaint, because it's not a complaint. I don't really care who plays well and who doesn't, to be honest. But it's a, an observation that has been made before, is that, you know, they've got this unbelievable outside back talent there. And you just think they just, you just don't hear a lot about him. And I know it's only game one, so chill out. But, you know, hopefully the next seven or eight games, Rocco's flying, because when he's on the ball in a bit of space, even when he's on the ball in no space, he's unplayable at times. He's just brutal to play against. But you just do not see them released very much at the moment. So there's some work to do there.
On wingers, Johnny May concussed, Nanai. Did you see the tackle?
That was a horrible hit, that.
It was horrible.
That was a horrible hit.
Arms down by the side, no wrap, straight into the head.
Like Brian Lima 20 years ago.
Yeah, the chiropractor. Was
like, great to watch then, but you can't do it now.
Was Cipriani wearing a headband or did he have stitches?
I hope it's the latter.
If there's one thing we know about Danny, he's in love at the moment.
Oh, God, is he?
Oh,
Christ. He's fallen big time, hasn't he?
Have you been helping him out with a couple of his posts? I know what you're like. You're romantic. But obviously,
boys reckon he got hacked.
killed Worcester's chances. 44-15 to Gloucester. But
you know what it's like, mate. If you're playing your first game back after pre-season and you've had a really short pre-season, you are hanging, and you lose anyone who contributes in defence and attack, or anyone, it is brutal, because that little bit of extra work you've got to do for an hour.
Yeah.
You're knackered then.
Yeah.
Especially when Danny Cipriani's running the show. He wasn't at his best, but he was really, really good, and he didn't need to be at his best.
No, he didn't. You know,
he was still the best player
when
on the field.
When you've got Jason Woodward, you got Ollie Thorley finish off tries, Lewis Rees-Zammit, who actually saw yesterday. He was at Penarth Rugby Club doing some filming. Well, let's say some filming with a guy at a camera, videoing him sidestep. I cycled past him. I checked him out. I'd go up and down.
It's some sort of endorsement, won't it?
I'm bigger than him, mate. I'm bigger than him.
What am I?
Yeah. So who's the winner there?
I saw Jonathan Joseph on social media the day doing a personal best on the bench press. And it was like 100 reps for six, I think. 100 kilos for six. Or 100. Yeah. And I was like, I was really surprised that it was such a lightweight. And then I quickly realised that what he's got is 50 caps at 13 for England. And what I had was a really good bench press and no caps.
Yeah, but it's still a
so
bit
you're
of
much
a...
better off being really good at rugby like he is.
You say that now, you finish, but you'd rather have a good
realize
bench.
That too late.
We know that. Similarly, like someone like James Hook, right? Not the strongest in the gym, incredibly chiseled, you know, strong, but had a wicked handoff. So good. You know, really deadly. Yeah. You know, you don't need to do bench press for that. It's technique. It's using your core, using your body to push off. But I'd rather have a good bench.
Yeah, gotcha.
Do you know what time it is? I think it could be. It could be questions time. We've got plenty in. I mean, get your phone ready because they're on our Instagram feed. As I put out a little message yesterday.
Twitter.
Yeah, Jeremy Pallister has talked about Luke Kandicki vomiting. We've gone through that. David Buckingham, is snooker without an audience better than rugby without a crowd?
Yeah, because it's a silent game. Probably because, snooker's silent. There's not much celebration in snooker. But no, I don't necessarily like snooker as much with a small crowd. I like it with everyone there.
Okay, you're stalling.
I quite like the fact that they're all trying really hard to be quiet. So it adds to the tension,
okay.
I think.
We'll move on. Rhys Jones, Shanks, when did you decide to embrace the ball? And what made you decide this? He reckons he'll be a member of the ball club in a couple of years. My tip to you, Rhys, is just to keep going shorter, mate. I mean, don't start off with a number one or a zero, 0.8 millimetre. Maybe just start off with a four, and then you can slowly go down and go down, so it gets people used to it. But yeah, you can't be that guy that, you know, just like a Jamie Roberts, you know, when there's any rain in the sky and it comes down, then you can see scalp. So can't be that, mate. Just do it. Darren Carlson, what a rugby player's favourite drink? Scrum and Coke.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Here's one from Matt. I looked out my window yesterday and saw a German shepherd doing a poo on the front lawn, and he had the cheek to come back later with his dog.
I like that. Brad Webb wants to know, what's the best restaurant near Salcombe Flats?
Best restaurant near Salcombe? I like the Crab Show in Kingsbridge, as you know. Wild Artichoke in Kingsbridge as well is nice. Salcombe, Dick and Wheels is fine. Not amazing. Not amazing eating out in Salcombe, actually, unless I've missed somewhere obvious. You're better off having a barbecue on the beach, mate, or go to Kingsbridge. It's a really good curry house called Mahabharat, and there's also Woody's Steakhouse. Kingsbridge is much better eating, and it's only 10 minutes away.
We've had a question, Ryan Yeoman. Joy's pod in your car at Gloucester Services seems to get a lot of mentions. It just gets mentions, mate.
Services, actually.
I think we've done one never once with John with John Thomas. I think we did one once first.
Oh, yeah.
It just gets mentions, mate, because it's so good. And we drive a lot. We go to a lot of services, and it's probably the best one in terms of choice for food and beverages, all right? We mostly do it at Ors Services, which is the old M4, if anything, mate. So get your facts right.
Graham Hogg, great mate of mine, Hoggy. Well, he was until he's gone plant-based. It's difficult because he used to have really good chat and be really charismatic, and now he is admittedly thinner, but he looks gaunt, he looks unhealthy. He's focused far too much on what he doesn't eat and what other people shouldn't eat, and he's become a bit of a bore. But his joke is, what type of cheese do you use to get a bear down from a tree? Come on, bear. Do you see what I mean? It's such a...
Yeah, I mean, we wanted questions on rugby, but I did put jokes in there as well. James Walsh on Twitter, my dog only responds to commands in Spanish. I think it's because she's a spaniel.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's time to finish, boy.
Where's your moustache gone? Last question.
The kids loved it, then the kids hated it. So they were like, can we please shave it off, Daddy? And I was doing my head and face in the shower, and I said, go with it, mate.
And your back and your triceps.
Yeah, I was just shaving my tongue and the soles of my feet and the palms of my hands in the shower.
Is it gone for good, mate, or are we going to see it again?
I don't know, I quite liked it. Just something to do, wasn't it? It was something to maintain. No, it's probably gone now. I mean, I look 10 years younger without it, so I look about 47.
Yeah, skin was looking good, I give you that.
Yeah, well done, boy.
Anyway.
We've got to go now, okay, because I need a wee now.
Yeah, and what game are you covering next week for Channel 5?
London Irish next week.
I would say to you, go on.
The names.
Yeah, I would say to you, keep off the creatine this week, because there's a lot of water retention in you on Saturday.
Was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing it again, you see. You're trolling me about my weight.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not. I'm looking after you, mate. You've only got one heart.
Selby Bristol. Oh, no, it's not. Where the hell am I? What bloody day? Oh, here we go.
Do you know?
I'm just trying to...
Okay, well...
London Irish against Saints.
We'll try and keep this slick. There we are.
London Irish against Saints. Stop cyberbullying me about my weight, okay?
Not, mate. I'm looking after you.
All right.
You ain't got one life.
Good luck to you, fella. Keep going, all right?
Live
enjoy,
it to the max.
Enjoy 10B.
Yeah, thank you, Flats. Enjoy walking your dogs and throwing your chicken carcasses in the woods, all right? For all the little animals.
Will do.
Okay.
The badgers. Later, boy.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.